connections that would help us actually going forward, especially in making sure that we interrogate the work of the department and its entities. Before us today, we have the AG and the SFC. We will also later on be having the monitoring, Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. I think we all agree that those three institutions are quite important for us, especially for our work. If we understand the more knowledge and understanding we have about the work we're doing, the better we'll be able to try and get the better or our questions be responded to in a better way. We were taught that we must ask as much information as possible so that the public accounts department doesn't have to have a lot of work. Fortunately, with our department, I think as you'll hear from the AG, we don't have that much. There are a few entities that really we still have to do a lot of work around. You'll also hear of the issues that we've been really trying to interrogate, especially around the department's performance on certain areas. The AG will be able to, and hopefully the FFC and the UPMB will be able to confirm and acknowledge those issues. But for now, I guess let's get as much information as possible from the AG's office. And I'm told that we have, other than the AG, we have the AG's office, we have Media 24 here, and we have Outlook. I'm not sure what is Outlook all about. Would you mind educating us? Is that TMG? Because we thought so, you were from TMG, but now when we had that, when we had Outlook, then got a bit, you know. But we need to be educated so that we can know who we're interacting with. If maybe you can tell us what Outlook is about before we get from the AG.
It's Microsoft's email address.
Oh, it's your email address. Okay, no, thank you very much. I was a bit worried when I had this Outlook and then said, oh, maybe you might get it some of them. Thank you very much. Maybe then, I don't know from TMG who's going to be presenting to us, because there are two people from TMG. I mean from AG, yeah. I'm so sorry. It's the Outlook thing. Okay, let's get from AG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to prepare or to present the audit outcomes for the Economic Development Department and its portfolio to you this morning. My name is Ahmad Mullah and I'm the Senior Manager responsible for the audit of the Economic Development Department. On my left is my colleague Tokozo Sibili and she's the Assistant Manager who was working on the audit of the department. The purpose of our presentation yesterday is basically to assist the committee to assess the performance of the department in order to prepare the BRRR report. And so outline that, I've shared some slides with you and I will do my presentation from this slide. Chairperson, the mandate of the Auditor General to audit public sector entities is derived from the Constitution. And the Public Audit Act prescribes the scope of the work that we're going to do. And the scope of what we do during the audit is, what we do is we provide assurance on the financial statements which is included in the annual report of the department. We report on the usefulness and reliability of the information in annual performance report. I can direct you to the pages where the annual performance report is also. And also report on material non-compliance with relevant key legislation. My focus is the Public Finance Management Act, the Treasury regulations, and the the supply chain management briefs which are issued in terms of the treasury regulation. I also identify key internal control deficiencies that need to be addressed. I, however, don't provide assurance on the appropriateness of the departmental budget. I don't provide commentary on service delivery. I do not report on all legislation, I only report on selected legislation. And we assess the risk of fraud. It's very important for an auditor to understand what is the risk of fraud. But we're not responsible for fraud identification or fraud prevention. So the HSA, basically, what I do is I audit and express an opinion on the financial statements, which is included in this annual report. Today I'll also have you understand my audit report, which comes before, which is introduced before the financial statement. And when we look at the performance information, we look at the department's actual performance against what it planned. So it reports here on its actual performance, and we look at that in terms of two measures, usefulness and reliability, or two criteria. So we look at your annual performance report, and we look at the targets, and we look at the indicators, and we compare that to what was approved or what was tabled at this committee to ensure consistency. We also get the targets and indicators to see if they are well-defined and they are smart. So on the next slide is the overall audit outcomes of the economic development portfolio. Let me just introduce this for you. It's colored in green and yellow. And unfortunately, there's no disclaimer, so there's no red in here. There's no purple in here. Purple in here is a qualification or pink, which is an adverse with findings. So you have you have unqualified with findings and unqualified with no findings. What you want is this to look totally green. You want to see unqualified with no findings. So in all instances, for all four entities, the financial statements were a good set of financial statements. They were unqualified at the end of the day. However, in 2014-15, the Economic Development Department, the Competition Tribunal, and ITEC received unqualified work findings, and these were findings on compliance with laws and legislation, which I'll get into more later. Ultimately, what you want to see, what we all want to see, is that the chart is entirely green. Okay. There are two entities in this portfolio which are not audited by the Auditor General of Africa. And these are this is the IDC, the Industrial Development Corporation, and CIFA, Small Enterprise Finance Agency. If you get the audit outcome of these entities, they're both unqualified with no findings. This is the direction you want to go. You also want to go totally green, these two entities. On page 8 of my presentation are the Auditor General's 6 key focus areas. Very important focus area. Let me look at the quality of submitted financial statements, the quality of performance reports, compliance with laws and regulations, or compliance with legislation, financial health, human resource management, and information technology. It doesn't paint a very bad picture. Most of it is in the green, good. There are areas of concern. And there is an area of intervention which is required by ITES with regards to the quality of submitted financial statements. Quality of submitted performance reports maintained, there was improvement from the previous year, and there were no significant issues, so it was actually made a good picture. Compliance with legislation is where the issue is. There were some, at the Competition Tribunal at Economic Development Department, and at ITEC, there were non-compliance issues reported in the audit report. Competition Tribunal had 2, ITEC had 1, and the Competition Commission had none. They were actually a clean audit, but there were some non-compliance matters which weren't elevated or needed to be elevated into the audit report. Financial health is very good. Financial health, we look at your liquidity and we look at your solvency. We look at how much money you had at year end compared to how much liabilities you have, how much commitments you have, and there were no issues there, which is a positive. Human resource management is quite good in this portfolio. Economic Development Department had an issue which was reported in the auditor's report. However, there were a lot of progress or steps have been taken to address the issues that were identified. Information technology, yes, there are some areas which were concerning, and we'll get into those issues later, but not there are no areas where significant intervention is required. If we can go to the next slide, which is on the quality of submitted financial statements. If you look at it year on year, there's an improvement year on year. The improvement is at the Economic Development Department. The department implemented action plans to address this matter. And if I can contextualize this matter for you, what am I referring to when I talk of quality of financial statements? Is during May, at the end of May, in terms of the legislation, in terms of the PFM Treasury regulation, the department has to submit to me as the auditor a set of financial statements. And I'm given to the end of July to audit the set of financial statements. And the financial statements, for instance, IDEC, it contains significant or material errors in there. Now, if I did, and these errors are identified by my audit, by my substantive processes or by my procedures and not identified by the IDEC's internal control systems. So although they corrected these errors, so the financial statements then received an unqualified positive audit opinion. However, there's a lack of controls or there was inadequate control to ensure that the entity has complete and accurate financial statements. This is not something new. This is something that we've been talking about. I've been coming to the portfolio committee, talking to the ISEC about. So something needs to give. I mean, they need to institute better actions or improved controls to ensure complete and accurate financial statements. And these are not very complex financial statements. There aren't any complex financial instruments. It's basic set of financial statements. So the daily and monthly disciplines with regards to ensuring complete and accurate financial statements definitely need to be addressed and something that needs to be looked at by management. That being said, there was an improvement at the Economic Development Department and some of the best practices they can learn from the department. Stricter controls, monthly, quarterly financial statements reviewed properly by the internal audit, reviewed properly by audit committee. So those are the type of things that I think we'll need to establish to ensure they can get complete and accurate financial statements. And the next slide, 3.2, on the quality of the annual performance report, it's very good. It makes a good feature. The annual performance report of 100% were reliable and useful, which remained the same as the previous year. Okay. So this is a very positive outcome with regards to annual performance report. Like I explained earlier, we look at it in quite a lot of detail. In that we look at it whether the performance reporting is in compliance with the Treasury regulations and the PMA, whether reporting is consistent between planning and reporting documents, whether targets are specific, measurable, time-bound, and whether the indicators are well-defined. And in terms of usefulness, we will actually look at what is reported, not in all programs, but in selected material programs, we look at whether the actual performance reported is supported or has supporting documentation to support it. So is it valid? Is it accurate and is it complete? So these are the things we look at, usefulness and reliability. And in all your entities, all four of the entities that I audited, there were no significant matters that I needed to have raised to this committee, which is a positive on the department side and the entity side. On the quality of submitted annual performance reports, as I said, its annual performance reports were not materially misstated, and it's actually an improvement from the previous year. If you look at slide 7, if you look at 2013-14, the ITEC and the EED, both had annual performance reports which they submitted to me, which contained errors. Right, and the errors weren't identified by the processes, but were identified by myself, and they corrected it after. And this year, they were able to repeat the same error. Like I had mentioned earlier, compliance with laws and regulations is something that needs to be addressed in this portfolio. Quality of annual financial statements, like we spoke about in ITEC. Prevention of unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There was irregular expenditure which was incurred in total in this portfolio amounting to about 700,000 rand. We'll go into the detail where we compare it to the previous year later, but there is still some irregular expenditure which is coming through. Management of procurement in contracts, yeah, there were some issues there. And the competition tribunal, there were instances where three quotations were not obtained, and irregular expenditure was incurred, which was material in their context. So that was reported in the audit report of the Competition Tribunal. There were some issues with strategic planning and performance management at the competition commission and competition tribunal. These while were not significant enough to be elevated into any audit report. Human resource and consequence management, EED, concerning there was a matter relating to human resource management which was reported in the audit report of the of the economic development department. It's on page 97 of the annual report in the audit report, the matter relating to human resource management and compensation. There were instances employees were appointed without following a proper process to verify claims that were made in the application, and this is in contravention of the public service regulations. So this is the matter I'm referring to here. Internal audits and audit committees, good at the moment. There were no matters that needed to be reported. Internal audits are continuing throughout the year. Audit committees are taking place and monitoring their work. And that's definitely a positive in this environment. The status of financial health, like I said, no issues with going concern, commitment, accruals, and payables. So that's another positive in this portfolio. The information technology. At the department, there were no significant matters. At the public entities, at the competition commission and ITEC, there were inadequate reviews of access rights, and this is normally due to quality controls that weren't in place to ensure that this takes place. At the competition tribunal, IT service continuity, so IT disaster recovery plan was not approved. And IT service provider had access to the production environment, and the access went unwanted. So management have established actions, and we've identified recommendations that management should put in place to address this matter. And the competition commission, the deadlines for implementing phase one and phase two of the corporate governance and communication technology policy framework were not achieved or not met. So we have made recommendations to management. Management are putting actions in place to address the matters when it comes to information technology. On slide 15, I've defined the three different concerns or these things which are not normally in a set of financial statements but are specific to the public sector as unauthorized expenditure. It's basically expenditure not in accordance with a vote, or also when you exceed your vote. In this portfolio, there was no unauthorized expenditure. Irregular expenditure incurred in contravention of legislation, normally supply chain management regulations. For instance, if you don't get three quotations, or you don't get original tax year certificate, or you don't go to tender, then that expenditure is regarded as irregular expenditure. There is some irregular expenditure in this portfolio, about 700,000 rand worth of it. Split between three and four entities. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, normally your interest on late payments, penalties on late payments, and there is some fruitless and wasteful expenditure in this portfolio also. But slide 16 talks of a total of 712,000 rand of irregular expenditure. If you compare it to the previous year, it is reduced significantly. You'll see my chart, you see the bar coming down and down. From 712,000, from 7.5 million rand last year to 712,000 in this year. So it's a huge improvement year on year, and also a big improvement since 2013, which is 2 years back. That being said, there's still some issues that need to be ironed out. We are ideally looking at no irregular expenditure, so in all instances when we purchase, we comply with legislation. We're always getting our three quotations, we're always getting the experience certificate. So it's very important to reduce us to nothing, to no irregular expenditure. I think the reduction is normally, the biggest issue in this portfolio was with the Competition Commission in the past, where they appointed legal advisors or consultants that didn't have or didn't submit a tax clearance certificate. So look at that, this is a good example of how this was. Authorities, I mean the justice, or made recommendations to the Competition Commission, they put actions in place and they were able to resolve it. I mean, because you're looking at it in front of you, it's dropped from 7.5 million to 712,000, 10% of what it was last year, and in the year before it was 30 million there. But normally non-compliance in these matters, or the non-compliance which resulted in irregular expenditure in this portfolio, was due to an inadequate monitoring of compliance with all the regulations. So that definitely, those holes still need to be filled. They need to be addressed. You'll see two different colors in that bar. That bar shows you irregular expenditure which was identified by the auditors, and irregular expenditure which was identified by the auditees. All irregular expenditure in this year was identified by audit and wasn't identified by the entity's own internal control systems. So by the time they submitted financial statements to me, they didn't know they incurred this irregular expenditure because they didn't have a control to detect it. Okay? So that's something that also, there's another hole that needs to be plugged. 4.2 defines or talks about fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Some down from 3 years ago, from 220 grand, 84,000 last year, and 10,000 rand this year, and this is 10,000 rand at the competition tribunal, and this is due to some interest and penalties paid. The next slide is a very important one, and it talks about combined assurance, and it talks about the three levels of assurance that there are. And it splits it between the first line of defense, which is management. And management basically, they take over control of the day-to-day activities of the prisoner. But they also need to take immediate action to address recommendations that are made and adhere to the financial management and internal control system. The accounting officers who normally need to hold officials accountable on the implementation of internal controls. And the executive authority who monitors this process. In the second level, it speaks about assurance provided by internal audit and audit committees. Internal audit committees and national treasury play a very important role in providing assurance over the departments. All of the entities in your in portfolio are bound by legislation to have an internal audit function, are bound to have an audit committee. And from my experience and from our, if you look at the next slide, you'll see that in terms of internal audit and audit committee, we're comfortable that they are providing assurance and that they are achieving their responsibility, they are doing their work. In the third level of assurance, it talks about the oversight committee, which is the portfolio committee, the public accounts committee, and National Assembly, and it then details what their responsibilities are. Normally, the oversight committee, like the portfolio committee, they review and monitor the progress on implementation of action plans for assessed officials. Page 19 of my slide is just the assessment of assurance providers for the portfolio. Yeah, at the senior management level, at the competition tribunal, and at the IDEC, we reiterated providing some assurance because there were matters of non-compliance that were reported in the audit report. At the county authority, at county officer level, yeah, at the competition tribunal, we've rated it as providing some assurance due to those matters which were elevated into the audit report. We felt that there could be better oversight over compliance monitoring. Although there's two audit report matters relating to competition tribunal that are included in the audit report, and due to that, we said that they're providing some assurance and not total assurance. Executive authority, internal audits and audit committees providing assurance at the public entities and at the departments. Page 20, drivers of key controls for the portfolio, leadership, financial and performance management and governance. If you look at the audit outcomes year on year, they are remaining the same. So you will see on top the arrow is pointing to that there is little progress. Look, ideally you want to see this all green. Good. You want to see it all good. You don't want to see any concern. You don't want to see any areas of interventions which are required. Compliance, I felt strongly at the Economic Development Department because of that one matter. I felt that maybe some intervention is required, but I know subsequently and through my discussions with the Minister and the Department that there is progress being made to address the human resource management issues that were identified or that were reported in my audit report. Competition Commission, there's a in terms of the IT governance which we spoke about, it was very important to comply or to meet those guidelines as specified in the corporate governance framework. So we'll follow up on that when we move into our next audit. For the rest of it, there are some areas of concern which we'll discuss further. And on page 21, the root causes that should be addressed. It talks to the internal control deficiencies. If you look at the issues and that I'm reporting now, and if you look at the audit outcomes and all the issues, you compare it year on year and year, maybe for the last 2 years or last 3 years, you're going to see that it's somewhere that type of matters. Financial statements that were subject to material amendments, non-compliance with supply chain management regulations in some areas, human resource management issues at the department. You'll see that those issues are the same thing over the last year. I'm not telling you nothing new yesterday or nothing very much different than I told you a year ago. So it definitely looks like there's a sole response by management in addressing the root causes of those findings that we've addressed in the past. An action plan, which is key to this. It's an action plan. So every time I go there with an audit report, they need to have a plan of how to address this matter. They need to prioritize the plan, they need to implement the plan, and they need to monitor it on a quarterly basis or monthly basis at departmental and entity level. So it's important that this action plan be implemented. And the recommendation that I made on the next page is to say that adequate action plans must be implemented for strict timelines, and the implementation of action plan should be reviewed at least quarterly by the audit committee, and internal audit should assess if implementation has achieved the required outcome. There's no new audit findings, there's no new audit report method, it's all methods that we've identified previously. We know where the department is doing strong at, or where the department and the entities and the portfolio is doing well. We also know where there are concerns. We're telling the department, we're telling the public entities that these are the areas that need to be addressed. So it's important now that the ball is in the departments and the entities court now to take it from there. To implement this action plan, to find solutions for this problem, but more importantly, to also monitor this on a monthly, quarterly basis. Chairperson, on the last page is the minister's commitment to address the root causes. The one, the green block, highlights the commitment that was implemented, that the minister made some time back, he implemented it. And that was the effectual functioning of the internal audit unit. If you remember, about 2 years ago, there were some matters relating to internal audit that were reported in the audit report. Engaging with the audit committee, submitting financial statements that are free from material misstatements, which were achieved. Compliance with supply chain management principles. There weren't any matters that got elevated into the audit report this year. So there were lots of commitments the minister had made, which were subsequently implemented. One of them, which is still in progress, is improving controls in human resource management and effective monitoring of the action plan to address external audit findings. These are still in progress. It was one repeat issue from the last year. The minister committed to addressing issues in human resource management and directed the accounting office to take action against transgressors. So this is something that I will then evaluate during the next audit. Chairperson, that concludes my presentation. Okay, I'd be prepared to take any questions or any discussions that we have on this document. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Mr. Munda, I think what we need to do now, can we ask questions in relation to the department and then we'll come back to the entities? Because I think this performance is divided into those. It will be important then to interrogate each and every one of them. May we start with the department, please? I think members should also take into cognizance the quarterly reports that we receive from the department, the responses thereof, and what we see here. Is there any congruency in relation to that? I think it's important that we do that check. Then if we have questions in relation to anything that is seen to be contradicting, this is an opportunity to do so. Because we won't get another opportunity with the AG.
Thanks, Chair. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about the 700,000 rand of irregular expenditure, where did it go? And then secondly, the question of employees not being appointed, or being appointed rather without following proper processes. Can you provide some more detailed information on that? How many employees were involved? Can you give us an idea of the extent of the problem? Thanks.
Thank you.
I know you have some slide number 19 about the additional insurance provided for the portfolio. And I wanted to spend a little clearer about what the perceived provides is assurance.
I think it's an important
Okay, thanks. I just refer you to page number 19 to the assessment of assurance providers for portfolio. And I see in senior management you've got two entities that seem to be fine that provide assurance and senior management and two that don't. And I'm just wondering if the ED department is part of that, is part of the provide some assurance. I was just wondering if you can differentiate, if you can just provide a little bit more clarity and what the difference is between providing full assurance and providing some assurance. Where is the thing that takes people down a level, basically, so I'm kind of understand, both at the senior management level and at the accounting officer level. Thank you.
Bob Bignan.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, the issues of level control, if you can also speak about, but you're on human resource. Two, the issue of irregular on the three conditions that were not submitted, particularly by committee or tribunal. Thank you very much.
Okay. Babu Mabiga,
thanks, Chair. For me, most of the questions I think should be directed to the department rather than the HE. I think it's important for the HE to clarify as to what do you think is the reason for the department to keep on making claims that are failing, because you have clearly indicated that there are claims and this has been going on and on. They would make claims and until further at the end of the day they fall into the same trap again and again and again. And one is also worried about the irregular expenditure. But it goes together with the lack of controls. But you have mentioned that there are people responsible for ensuring that there are controls. So one also is wondering as to what will make the responsible people not to identify what they are supposed to do, like to say when they submit, they don't know what's happening until when the AG picks up that there is this problem. That is why I said most of the questions for me needs to be directed to the department, because especially the one that pertains the irregular expenditure, was to reduce it does not mean it's what we want. Because if they knew about it, what would be the cause not to comply with the legislation? Why would they continue doing that? And if the department can tell us as to how is this punishable, how do they punish this wrongdoing, because it's a wrongdoing. It has to be done away with at all.
Thanks. But maybe the reason why we have the AG here is to try to explain to us, because the AG interacts with the department in the process of in order for them to be able to come to this conclusion. So the AG, they ask as many questions as possible. For us here is just to understand that for the AG, and then later on Thursday, that's when we'll be interacting with the department. And the department will be then giving us this clarity. What is important is to note those issues that you worried about, that you feel that the department needs to clarify or explain on. But at the moment, we focus on the age, so the age can give us their side of the story as to what really, in their interaction with the department, they get out of them. And then we'll get that to the actual chief unit of the department. Did I say that clearly?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We thank Mr. Muller for a frank presentation. I just want clarity on slide 20. Generally, Mr. Muller is saying that the leadership culture is effective in the department, is good. No, on the first part here, it shows green. It means that it is good. Yeah, I'm looking at the economic development department. There's effective leadership culture. But then it points out, you know, weaknesses in the action plans, IT governance, IT controls. I would like Mr. Muller to try and tie this up together. Thank you.
Thanks, that is Glenn. Ma'am Atunji.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also welcome the AG report. Mine is on page 20, on the EDD, the internal controls. As per the presentation, Mr. Muller is saying the department lacks the internal control. As you see, they cannot pick up things until the external auditor can pick it up. But as per the classification there, it is it's good internal audit. Maybe I missed something. Maybe if Mr. Muller can forgive my little knowledge and explain that. Thank you.
Some contradictions there. Any other? Yes, I think Mr. Muller, you're saying on the overall, you consent. That's what you say. Around the leadership, financial and performance management and governance. That's on the overall. But then you're going into individual specific. You're saying that is on page 20, in terms of drivers of key controls for the portfolio. And then you said the department needs some intervention in as far as the compliance issues are concerned. I think members have been asking this question because it seems it doesn't come out very clear as to whether what is your overall assessment in as far as this, from what you're saying on every item to what you're saying in general. So that's where I think there's that misunderstanding or maybe lack of clarity that we all need. You said on the IT, the Competition Commission, this issue we've asked the Competition Commission. They seem to be having another explanation in as far as they are concerned, you know, in as far as this matter of the IT governance. They seem to be doing well. They seem to be really having challenges because of the server that is controlled centrally. Remember, they are in an establishment owned by BTI. So I don't know. In your own opinion, how do you think this can be resolved? Because if they don't have complete authority over this IT, or you're talking about their something else that is unrelated, I don't know. But this is what they're talking to most of the time. So when we ask this question, because you're not raising this for the first time, and we did ask this question, and they responded to that. And if it's a matter that requires intervention to us it's a matter of urgency that we need solutions on, because remember here we must also be able to advise on solutions towards particular challenges. It's not just to pinpoint challenges, it's also to advise children. May I hand over to you, Ms. Kutler?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me attempt to address the questions. The regular expenditure which was incurred in the portfolios was 700,000 there. I tried to give you more information on it, but I best direct you to the financial statements of this entity. In the financial statements, the department, the public entities, they all have an area where they disclose the irregular expenditure. Part of that disclosure, they disclose the nature of the irregular expenditure. For instance, at the Competition Commission, it was the issue of 3 quotations that were not obtained in some instances for procurement that was below 500,000. And so if you look into detail in the financial statements, you will be able to see, you will also be able to see the circumstances and what actions have been taken to address the irregular expenditure. Because in terms of the Public Finance Management Act and the Treasury regulations, there needs to be some sort of an investigation or an understanding of why irregular expenditure took place and what were, if there were any disciplinary processes or actions taken against those individuals who are responsible for that irregular expenditure. With regards to the human resource management issue, at the department where employee verification checks were not performed,
may I just make a follow-up on the previous one?
Yes.
Looking at the previous performance on around the similar issue, what would you say? Are you convinced that the response or the plans in place are going to assist on the previous issue?
On the irregular expenditure which was reported or which was identified in the June 14th of in financial year? Jefferson, I think best if that non-compliance will not continue, it's up to the public entities where it was incurred to implement the recommendations that we've made and to improve the amount of monitoring that's taking place. It has declined, but it can still be improved in certain areas. So my recommendation is that those entities improve the monitoring of compliance laws and regulations to completely eradicate the irregular expenditure services. Okay. The next part of the question is employee verification checks are not performed. This relates to the Department of Economic Development Department, and there were 13 in the, there were 13 appointments that were made where the appointments or verification process was not followed. The question on the assessment of assurance providers and some page on slide 19. And what's the criteria? How do we look at it? How do we conclude in some spaces that they provide assurance and in some spaces we say they provide some assurance? We also got criteria of no assurance and if there was a vacancy or whether it was not established. Look, we related to our assessment of the controls in the environment, we related to the audit outcome, and we related to the method that we've reported in the audit report. So the two that we spoke about is EDD and the ITEC. And both EDD and ITEC, we've got senior managers providing some assurance. And the reason for that is because they were non-compliant. So because there was some non-compliance, we think that they're providing some assurance. It wouldn't be right to say that they're completely providing assurance. And it's also the nature of the matter. Both instances were repeat matters. ITEC was financial statement subject to material adjustments, and the other one was a human resource management. So it's been repeated, and I hope that clarifies this for you. There was a question on human resource management and the controls surrounding human resource management at the department. The department has historically had an issue with human resource management. I mean, maybe just because it has numerous issues with human resource management. It's also been staff turnover at leadership level in a human resource management department. There have been numerous matters that were reported in previous audit reports relating to human resource management. And I can't say that there was a complete lack of controls or breakdown of controls, but there was inadequate monitoring in certain circumstances to always ensure compliance with laws and regulations. I think the DG is better placed to respond to you with regards to the processes and the action plans and the remedies that have been put in place to address the issues in human resource management at the department. A good one is the plans that are failing, although I'm saying the department has action plans, but the entities have action plans, these plans are failing. The question is, why are these plans failing? Are the departments and the entities setting themselves up for the same type of game? The thing is, the problem is there's an action plan in place. So I've seen the action plan. I've always seen the action. The action plan is there. But then the question is, the finding is repeated. So I say, for instance, financial statements have been subject to adjustment. There's two problems only with the action plan. The action plan is a piece of paper. It's there. But the root cause, why is the financial statements being subject to material adjustments? The real root cause, the real issue is not being addressed in the action plan. That's one. And the second thing is it's not being continuously monitored. It's not appropriately monitored. So someone, it might be possible that it might be marked off as issue resolved, but then the auditors come and pick it up again. So there isn't that assurance being provided to management or to the DGs that this issue is really being involved. There needs to be more assurance on the action plan. Somebody will provide assurance that we are actually addressing the root cause here, and the actions that have been taken are sufficient, have been implemented, and this problem is now done in part. Slide 20 is a driver of key controls for this portfolio. Okay, Terry, hi, that's you. We split internal controls into three different categories, into leadership, to financial and performance management, and to governance. Leadership looks at, when we're doing our assessment, or when I'm doing this assessment, what I look at is there an effective leadership culture? Do they have a code of ethics? Oversight responsibility, does an accounting officer, the accounting authorities, do they prepare and review monthly and quarterly financial statements, performance reports, and other compliance checklists, human resource management, whether there is, we look at the vacancies in the department, we look at whether there's sufficiently skilled staff in the department, we look at policies and procedures, whether the department has policies and procedures to guide the work of the entity and of the department. Do they have action plans? IT governance, we look at user access management, security management, disaster recovery. Those are the areas that we look at in leadership. And in financial performance management, we look at whether they are record keeping, whether they have a filing system, processing and reconciling of controls, do they actually do fixed asset reconciliation, salary reconciliation, reporting the quality of your financial statements, compliance with laws and regulations, IT security systems, normally the security around your IT control. In governance, and this was the question where I rated internal audits as green, but the question is, I said that were internal control deficiencies. Internal audit is separate from internal control deficiencies. Internal audit is a specific unit within the department, a specific division within the department that is appointed within the department to perform audits for the department. So they're an assurance provider. And I have set them as green because they are in place, they do have plans, they do audits, and they do provide reports to management on the audits that they do. Internal control talks about the processes that management have in place to ensure that they have complete and accurate records, that they do have controls, that they do have controls to ensure compliance with legislation, to ensure accurate financial statements. So internal controls, there were some areas which needed attention.
Thank you. for instance, compliance with human resource management at the department, and complete and accurate financial statements at ITEC, and compliance with supply chain management regulations at the competition tribunal. Yes.
That's why I feel I need to get clarity for myself. If internal audit unit and audit committee is doing this back in the three, I mean within the department and also in the entity, why would then be the situation be as it is in as far as especially around compliance issues and around. Do they come up with a risk control measures? Is there any risk policy that went to ask that question? And then that would be monitored also by the audit committee. Are the issues raised in the management? Do the audit committee members or internal audit, internal audit unit members sit in the management? And in your response, how is the feedback in as far as the issues that they put on the table before the department?
Yeah, thank you very much. You tried, but I'm still concerned on the issue of them being in the green, having the plan, but they're unable to pick up issues within the department. Only you as external auditors can pick up issues. They just submit statements which have loopholes and problems that they cannot pick up. But still, when I are able to, but you still put them in the green. Whether it's a plan or what, but that's what I'm saying. I'm still concerned.
I can answer this in terms of, I see what you say. In the internal control efficiencies, there's a unit that's supposed to provide assurance, they're not identifying the problems. I'm identifying the problems after them. My assessment of internal audit and audit committees is in terms of compliance with legislation at the moment, in terms of the assessment that I've done. So my assessment required me only to look at, do you have an internal audit unit? Is it staffed? Is it held up then? Is it performing? So because I've assessed it from that point, from that perspective, it comes out as a green. We never brought that together and looked at it from that perspective. We've identified the control deficiency, the problem, the root cause, as it being oversight from management's perspective. It's however true that internal audit, I see what you're saying, that internal audit can go now and now look at internal control deficiency that were previously identified by me and go look at if they were resolved, and also be proactive in identifying areas of risk that you know where the issues are and to identify those issues. So then I think it would also be suited if the department could maybe also be directed this kind of question and see what their response is.
I did ask a question. I also asked a question before she came in.
Chairperson, the question was on the competition commission and on the...
In general. I was asking questions in general relating to... You know, the challenge is, if you are saying you covered in terms of the key controls, in as far as internal audit and audit committees are concerned. And yet you still find these challenges that you find within the department. Because my understanding in as far as PFMA is concerned is that these two committees or a unit and committee are supposed to do, you know, to identify issues, bring them to the table, so that the management may look into that and then propose resolutions to this particular challenges. So what I'm asking is whether in your interaction with the department, were they able then to give you an assurance that this is happening? Or in connection with the internal audit and the audit committee, do they give you that assurance that these things are happening within the department? Hence, you then gave them the grain. Because it's two ways. It might be the department, it might be that the internal audit or the audit committee are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Hence, the department is not able then to identify those issues in time. So hence, I'm asking this question so that we are sure that it is not happening. We did ask the question last time in the previous annual report and audit statement. The response was that the audit committee, I think there were still vacancies there that they needed to be filled. I think there was one or two people that were no longer there. Internal audit unit, it was about how it is structured. If my memory still serves me well in as far as that is concerned. And to me, it tells me that there's something wrong even in the actual establishment of the internal audit. So if you had a unit that's not working in full capacity, there will obviously be challenges because they have to look at issues of compliance and totality. And if they are not fully established, it's going to be a challenge for identifying because there won't be own bodies to look into those issues. So I wanted you to come out clearly on that so that we can understand the actual issues in this. Because this is an audit, it's not just an ordinary, it's an audited work, which is supposed to give us clear answers in as far as the issues we need to get out of the audited financial statement. I'm saying financial because whatever that is doing, even if it's not financial, it is impacting on the financial. And at the end of the day, it impacts on the performance general of the department. So if you may perhaps clarify, that's why I was asking if you have any suggestions or recommendations as the auditor general, so that we look into that and see how best can we assist the department.
Chairman, at this stage, with regards to internal audit, internal audit and audit committee, my recommendation is that they make sure or they ensure implementation of the action plan to address the prior year audit findings, any findings, whether they were raised by internal audit, whether they were raised by external audit, and that they criticize it and interrogate it to such an extent that they left with comfort that those findings and issues have been resolved. If it's internal audit has a right to go and follow up, and they have it on their audit plan to go and perform internal audits or follow up on findings previously raised by the auditors, myself, to go and identify and look at if those findings have been resolved now. And the audit committee has within its mandate to go and exercise oversight or to go and monitor whether the department has an action plan and what that progress of the what is the status of those previously issued findings? Are they now resolved or are they not resolved? So if they can interrogate and criticize it to such an extent and leave ourselves with comfort that these issues are being resolved, yes, Chairperson, that's your recommendation.
I see, Mr.
Chairperson.
No, we don't. Thank you.
On the issue on the CC completion commission and the view that the IT matter is they have a different view on the IT matter, and they seem to be well, and they seem to be doing well despite some challenges with the server, which is controlled centrally.
Chairman, this is a matter that I have to take up and discuss again and revert to the committee to discuss this matter. Perhaps when we discuss the next key controls, then I can come back with feedback on this competition commission matter with regards to the thing. I am, however, comfortable that although a server is centrally controlled, IT governance is still necessary. IT governance talks about whether you have an approved IT governance. You still need to have some sort of framework. There still needs to be some sort of control maintained and oversight maintained from your
from your side, from the side of the Competition Commission. So they need to have an IT governance framework.
Thank you very much. I guess, do you have a follow up? Or you comfortable? Do you think you're armed enough to can engage the department now on the financial? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Muller and Mr. Bissett, for the presentation, your responses, and your presence here. It really helps a lot in making us understand the some of the challenges that the departments might be facing, and especially the entities. I'm saying this because we are really in the midst of challenges that we need to deal with as a country, and unless we, as the oversized portfolio committee, are able to ask the right questions, we won't be able to really assist South Africa to come out of the challenges that it's facing. So through your work, we think that we will be better empowered to ask those questions. Thank you very much for your availing yourself to this meeting. Okay, I guess we'll have we'll break. Okay, we're supposed to have FFC at 11. It's now 11:15. Who else is out? Chicken is not done. Okay. Unfortunately, the FFC is with the PC on energy. They won't be able to come beforehand. So maybe then break, have a break until we meet at 11:30.
Thank you.
I think it's quite appropriate for us to thank the Mola. This is the last time he's with us. Yes, because in terms of auditing, they are contracted for 5 years, and after 5 years, they have to shift. Then somebody else will be coming and will introduce him. But that's really thank him very much for his cooperation. I think he's been cooperating very well with us. He's been briefing us to the core in the 5 issues of the EED and the NDP government. We wish you all the best wherever you're going, and God bless.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, don't forget that what you call me.
No, you do. Wherever you go, remember